Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. What did it say? What did it mean? Why did they choose it? Well, this week, we meet Cindy Petrovitz from Pleasant Valley, New York. Her plate, Sneaker Mutt, is the combination of her two great passions, running and rescues. Cindy talks about her love of both and how they came together in one magical moment. Cindy's website, sneakermutt.com, was started in 2012, and 100% of the profits go to support four rescue organizations across the country. Its mission is to use feet to help paws. How cute is that? Please share this episode with all of your rescue dog family and runner friends, and subscribe for a new plate episode every week. Now, let's go meet Cindy and her sneaker mutts. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's episode. I'm so excited to have Cynthia Petrovitz on with me from the Hudson Valley, New York. Her license plate is Sneaker Mutt. It's S-N-K-R-M-U-T-T. Now, I have to tell you, before we get in, I have to tell you how I found this plate. First of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's really great to have you. So the way that we got connected was through the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I was going to lunch to meet a friend. And whenever I show up someplace, I get there a little early and I drive around the lot a little bit just to look for plates. And I saw yours and I thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I have to have that on my show. So I have these postcards and I thought, I'm going to put it in your door. But then I saw you walking into, where were you going?
Chipotle.
Yes. Walking into Chipotle. And I thought, okay, do I leave the postcard in the car or do I stalk her and go in and like try and find her in this restaurant? And so I decided to just be bold and go into the restaurant to find you. But the problem was I was scared to death to be bold. I didn't want to go in a restaurant and like look for you and yell out Sneaker Mutt into the restaurant. So I go into the Chipotle, postcard in hand, ready. I'm courageous. And I go up to the woman I thought I had seen, mm-hmm. really the only woman I saw standing there. And she was at the soda machine, you know, and I said, do you happen to have a vanity license plate? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay, never mind. And I left. I was just like, that was all the courage I had. I used it all up on her. I didn't find you. And I put the postcard in. Now tell me your side of that same story, because then something interesting happened.
So, first of all, going to Chipotle is a big deal for me. Chipotle, there's not one around, so I have to drive about 45 minutes to get to Chipotle.
Wow.
And I just so happened to be in the area, went to Chipotle, came out, and I so happened to bump into a good friend, Nicole, in Chipotle. So then we had lunch together. As I was leaving, I saw your card and I read it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I run over to Nicole and I'm like, Nicole, look what I got. And she was like, I know Trista.
So
I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. And then, which was so serendipitous, I guess. It was
just
very, very funny. Yeah.
Well, you know, I hand out a lot of those postcards and it's a worse response rate than direct mail. Most people do not. In fact, that same day, I had left one on another car. I don't remember what the plate was for that one. And when I came out from lunch, it was on the ground. Oh. Like they clearly pulled it out of their door, said, and put it on the ground, you know, like it was garbage. So like, it's not a very good response rate. So the fact that you saw it and you got excited.
I felt like a celebrity. I was like, oh my God.
That's what I want to happen, right? Yeah. I want the person to feel special. I want them to feel like, oh, I was chosen. I won some sort of weird lottery I've never heard of.
Yes, it was very cool.
I love that. So tell me about Sneaker Mutt. What is the story behind it?
So Sneaker Mutt really just combines my two passions of, I love running. I'm a psycho runner, lover psycho. And then I love dogs. So I'm a psycho dog person as well. So I put them together, a sneaker mutt. But I also have like a little business that I do in the back that deals with giving money back to shelter dogs. And my little mission is to use my feet to help paws. So,
oh, I love that.
Sneaker mutt came around.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I have so many questions. So let's go with the dog thing, because anybody who knows me for 5 minutes knows that if it's between you and your dog and I are probably better friends than you and I.
You got it.
So what's your experience with dogs? How did you get to be, I mean, you probably just love dogs, but what's your experience with dogs?
Well, you know, growing up, we had a dog named Precious. It was a quiche hound. It was really my mom's dog. You know, and I was always a big animal lover, had hamsters, parakeets, you name it, bunnies, you know, I was that person, that kid. And then when I got married, my husband and I had a dog named Imus, which was a black lab. And Imus lived to be about 14, 15 years old. And he was not a rescue. He was, my husband got him from a breeder. But once Imus passed, then we started going the route of rescue. And so we rescued a dog named Atticus, and he kind of like, he started it all. So Atticus came to us and he was 6 months old. Or I'm sorry, I take that back. He was about 4 or 5 years old, but we only had him for about 6 months, and he had cancer. And he passed, and it was pretty devastating, you know, in that regard. We're the crazy people. We sent him for chemo, you know,
we're
like that kind of family.
Yeah. Cause it's a family member, not an animal, right? Yeah,
absolutely. And he really made quite an impact, you know, this dog, cause I think it was like the first dog after our like dog, you know, Imus. So anyway, it just so happened that during this time I started getting into running, and I had a friend who asked me to run a half marathon. And in the process, that was when Atticus passed. So running then, you know, became really cathartic, and I kind of went through that process. And then it just kind of turned into, I don't want to say we were dog hoarders, but you know, then it's, you know, then we rescue another dog, and then we rescue another dog. And in the, we've had 3-4 dogs. We like to rescue older dogs. When Atticus passed and Imus had passed, you know, a little earlier than him, when I was running, I remember it clearly. Was running on the Dutchess County Rail Trail. I was by Lake Walton. I'm running, I'm training. And I was just like, what can I do? Like, how can I give back? And then I just thought, oh my God. Like, I could run and raise money for dogs. Like, And so then I ran the New York City Marathon for the North Shore Animal League. And it just so happened that Hurricane Sandy occurred. So we didn't have that marathon, but I did raise close to $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the following year I ran in his honor. And then I just started making things and selling them, you know, for the donations. Cause I'm that person that, you know, you can ask someone for a donation, but then you kind of like, it's kind of like off limits after the second and the third and fourth time, you know what I'm saying? and I'm really creative. So I kind of thought, huh, I could do this. I could make stuff. So I started making things, and that's kind of how the business grew.
That's awesome. So Sneaker Mud is the name of your business.
It is. Yes.
So what do you make?
So I make t-shirts. So here I go, have a t-shirt on.
So if you're listening to this on the podcast right now, Cindy's showing off her shirt, which says social distance runner, COVID-19.
Yes.
Very, very timely and appropriate. Yes.
So I make funny, kind of like punny run inspired t-shirts. And just so everyone knows, I'm not clip arting things. You know, I was art teacher for 20 years. So, you know, everything I kind of draw out.
Oh, that's great.
And upload and do.
So it's all original.
it is original. As original as I make it. So I do t-shirts. Yeah. I make, I don't think I have one near me. I have little glove dogs. So these little stuffed dogs that I make out of gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is my little Louie dog.
Oh, so cute.
So Louie.
Yes.
Kind of started it all because I was teaching. I made a little whole bunch of these guys and had them for adoption.
That's adorable.
And then my teacher's friends would come in and they would just make like a donation and pick their adopted dog, you know.
Oh my goodness.
And now, so what I do is I number all of their little leashes, their collars. And I have actually made over 500 of them.
Wow. So they're in numerical order?
They are in numerical
order. So that's the 256th one you've made?
Yeah, well, Louie's special. So Louie has a 26.2.
Oh, okay.
On there.
Is that a marathon thing?
Yes.
Yes. I am not a runner, but I'm very impressed that when you said 26.2, I remembered that's a marathon thing. Yes.
And Louie actually has run, I've run 13 marathons. And Louie has run 10 of those 13 marathons with me.
Wow. Like no wonder he's in such good shape.
Yeah. The bath, right?
I have to tell you, this is reminding me of, do you remember when I was a kid, they had the Cabbage Patch dolls and they lived in a Cabbage Patch and you got to pick out your one and adopt it. And it came with a certificate.
Yes.
So I had one. I actually still do. She's in my bedroom up on a shelf. Her name is Jewel Inez. That is her name. And she was actually one of the cloth-faced ones before they started mass producing them.
Oh, wow.
My dad got me one for probably Christmas or my birthday. And it was this most specialist thing in the whole wide world. She's still very special to me. So you reminded me of that with your numbered adopted dogs.
You know, they'll send me photos of their dog and they named it or they'll run with it.
It's amazing.
It just makes me so happy. I can't even tell you. It
makes me so happy. So what percentage of your proceeds from all of these purchases go toward donations?
So what I do is whatever, I basically cover my costs, you know, and then anything after that, I just go ahead and donate back.
So all the profits.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not, okay. I mean, I've been there and done that as far as a career. So I'm not doing this to, you know, make a paycheck.
Yeah.
I really believe in you got to give back.
That's
awesome. What I do. But up like, so I started around 2012 and right now I've given back over 16,000.
That's amazing. Just from the shirts and the adopted dogs, because those aren't even really very high ticket items.
No, my dogs are like $10.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So when you say you cover your cost, it doesn't sound like you mean your time. Like your design time.
Nah, not really.
Your, you know, sewing time.
People get very upset with me over that, but you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I have to say, it's just, I'm just that person. I just always want to keep giving, you know. And you know, maybe in many ways it's a fault because people are like, you're going to get taken advantage of or, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it all comes back around.
I agree.
You know,
I think you have to follow your heart.
Yeah. If your heart's in the right place and you're doing it for the right reason, I mean, it might not happen today or tomorrow, but I think like down the line, you know, it always comes back and it always comes back like tenfold. So
yeah,
it's
I agree with that.
Well worth it.
So is this the first thing you've done that's philanthropic or have you always been somebody to give back?
You know, I think I've just always been somebody to give back. You know, I even just remember, you know, growing up, you know, just, I don't know, doing little things for friends, you know, dropping stuff off. But I will say that I always have believed that when you do things like this or giving, if you do it quietly, it's heard louder. You know, a couple of years, probably 5 or 6 years ago, the minister of our church, he retired. This struck me profoundly in the last sermon. And he said, your purpose in life, like, just remember, he's like, I have four things, smile, serve, pray, and remember who you are. And that just hit such a chord with me of like, you know what? That's right. Like, that's really why we're here on this earth. Like, we're here to serve, you know, like, you know, smile while you're doing it, serve, you know, pray if you just, if you want to, go ahead, you know, like, I'm not pushing any of that.
Yeah, no, I got it.
But, you know, and also, you know, remember who you are. And I just, so I think that's something that I needed to hear then that just keeps, that has been pushing this along.
Yeah, I love that. We spent some time talking about the website and all the different things you can get on it. And unfortunately, that had to be cut for time. So check out sneakermutt.com and everything you get, the proceeds go to help the following organizations.
The Dutchess County SPCA. One reason, because we have adopted our little Staffordshire Terrier Pity Mix Vixen from there. So we love them. And they're local, so I do the Dutchess County SPCA. I also love the Search Dog Foundation, which is in Ojai, California. I actually raised $10,000 for them and sponsored a national disaster search and rescue dog.
Wow.
Named Charlie. Unfortunately, Charlie passed. I was training to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And I was kind of like, okay, if I do it, if I get into Boston, I'm going to do something crazy and I'm going to try to raise like crazy amount of money. And I did. So that's why that kind of sparked that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Any other organizations or is it mainly those two?
Those two. I also, there's the Warrior Dog Foundation and the Warrior Dog Foundation, they take service dogs. That military service dogs who have been placed into retirement and they rehabilitate, not rehabilitate, that's the wrong word, but they try to work with them to place them back into a social environment with families. So I like them a lot.
And one other we didn't talk about during the podcast, Nala's New Life Rescue in Stuart, Florida. We can't forget to mention them. Oh my gosh, I've had so much fun talking to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Is there anything else that you want us to know about Sneaker Mutt or your work that you're doing or anything else?
No, I mean, I'm going to put it out there that I think the best life ever, adopt a dog, run a marathon. You're set for life.
If somebody wanted to get into running and maybe they're like me and the only way you'll ever catch them running is if somebody's chasing them, yep. How would you get started? Would you use like a couch to 5K thing or what would you recommend?
You know, I definitely think the couch to 5K is a fabulous app without a doubt. I think that's great. I just think also too, it's just, you know, just go outside and run a little bit and stop. You know, and then walk, and then run a little bit, and then stop, and then walk. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't start running until 10 years ago. Like, everything that I've been doing right now has just happened in that, like, 10 time span, you know, 10. So, and everyone around me, you know, I've coached people who have been in a situation where they haven't run at all, and, you know, that's exactly what we do. We run for a minute and then you walk for five. And then, you know, the next time you like try to run for 2 minutes. And then it's just like anything else, you know, what you focus grows, you know, the more consistent you are. And I'm going to put out there too, that when I find people that start running, they're constantly comparing themselves to other people, like, oh, you're faster than me, oh, you can run further than me, like all that kind. But really, if you think about it, everybody is kind of in the exact same spot, because for me, who's maybe more experienced, me trying to reach a goal, it's just as difficult and as hard and as time consuming for me to reach that goal as it is for someone who's new, who's trying to start and reach a goal. You know, right. It's just on a different, you know, it's just a different situation. So I personally think running has been so rewarding for me, and I know it's not for everybody, but I think
what's so great about it.
I know, right?
You don't even go anywhere. Then you got to walk back.
Don't. And I totally get it. Like, I absolutely 100% get it. And up until, so I will never forget my friend Anna. So I was only running like just at the gym, I got on the treadmill and I'd be like running here and there. Mm-hmm. Not even clock. I don't even know what like a pace was, what miles were and stuff. I was just running for exercise. And then my friend Anna, who I had just met, had always run the Philadelphia half marathon. And she was like, we get along real great. You want to run a half marathon? And I was like, all right, sure. I had no idea.
Like what you were saying yes to.
I had no idea whatsoever. And I remember like showing up and just like running. I threw up at mile like 4. And because you think like, oh, I'm running really fast. I can do this for the next 13 miles. Right. Like whatever,
And, 1 minute later, I'm like heaving on this. Right.
I mean, and they had, she introduced me to like goo, which is like the sweet like fuel, And I'm like, oh, having all this goo. It was just horrific. And
you went back out a second time.
Yes. So I finished. And I was like, that was horrific. Like, but then I got home and I sat down and I was like, I want to do that again. Like, I want to try that again. And I call it the most horrifically magical moment. Because I think, when you do something and you put so much of that effort into it, and then you realize like, oh, maybe I could do a little better. Then
I didn't die.
Yeah. And then and I'm going to tell you this too. Okay. Why? There is nothing. Now I'm getting all flush. Okay. Here I go. There is nothing at all like running a marathon and having thousands of people cheering you on. And I think that is just like that experience of hearing it and feeling it and seeing it, and just it's just like it's intoxicating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of everyone in life deserves to be able to cross the finish line and have that feeling. I personally think.
Awesome. So I always like to turn the tables and have you ask me one question. Do you have a question you'd like to ask me before we close?
I do. My question's a little weird though.
Uh-oh. All right, let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. On a side, I love to read and I love like serial killer, all that kind of stuff, like death row type of things. So my question is this. If you were on death row and you had to have your last meal, mm-hmm. what would you have?
Oh my goodness. This is a weird question. So I guess if it's my last meal, I don't have to worry about like, so I'd probably want a ribeye.
Oh, okay.
And maybe a baked potato. See, now that I'm thinking it's my last meal, mm-hmm. now I'm like, well, I don't have to worry about cholesterol. No. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Go for the tater tots. I mean, come on.
Yes. So I would probably want like the cheesy lobster mashed potatoes from Red Lobster.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And those biscuits.
I was going to say the biscuits.
Got to have those biscuits. And then the old version of the all-you-can-eat salad and bread from Olive Garden.
Okay.
Before they changed it.
Yep.
A ribeye. And of course, we'll leave in the soft-shell crab.
Any sweets?
I've always been a huge fan of pecan pie at the perfect temperature without ice cream.
I agree with the non-ice cream.
Yeah, I think I will just leave it at that. There's probably 10 other things if I kept thinking about it, but that's just going to open up a whole can of worms. Awesome. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for being on Plate Story Podcast. It was so fun to talk to you.
Thank you. You too. Thanks, Trista.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. Please subscribe to Trista's Plate Story Podcast to get the story behind all those vanity plates driving with you on the road. And if you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, or visit any of our partners and sponsors, come see us at platestory.com. That's PL8story.com, and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review and give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.